Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we start today, I want to give a message of honor to the veterans and to those families and those who have given sacrifice serving in the armed forces here of the United States of America. We give honor to you, we give tribute to you, and we thank you for your service for those veterans who have served and for those families who have sacrificed by giving up a loved one. And I praise you for the work that you've done and the commitment, the sacrifice that you have made to make this country great, to make this country free. My own father was a service member in the Navy in World War II, and when he was a young man, he graduated from high school, went directly into the military, as many young men did back in those days, and so he ended up over in Guam serving in the United States Navy as a support for the effort to retake Japan, to retake the islands that were occupied by the Japanese. And so I know his sacrifice. I thank you, Dad. He's in heaven right now, but many of us have loved ones who have gone on and have served this country well, and so we give them honor and tribute today. Well, again, today for the message, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12. If you have your Bible there, turn it to chapter 12, verse 12, and we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts in relation to the body of Christ and how they are pertinent to each and every one of us as ministers, as individuals in the body of Christ, and how God has interconnected us and woven us together so that we can be a powerful marching unit, a powerful army, not in the natural but in the supernatural, to tear down strongholds. And so this is going to be the message today, and if you have your Bible again, turn it to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll start in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Well, the one Spirit that Paul is talking about here is the Holy Spirit of God, and we have all been made to drink. All of us who call ourselves Christians, who claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been made to drink from one Spirit, and that Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. And it doesn't matter what tribe you're from, it does not matter what race you are, what the color of skin you have, or what culture, what side of the tracks you grew up on. When you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you come in as a child of the King. You come in as one who has inherited the kingdom of God, and there is no higher status for anyone here, anywhere on the face of the earth. And when you come in as a member of the body of Christ, then you are an individual member, but you are also linked to those in the body of Christ all over the world who call on Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And beloved, this is such a precious thing. It is such a powerful thing. It is beyond anything that we could have devised or imagined for ourselves. And God has created the body of Christ through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. And you can go anywhere in the world. I've traveled to many countries to preach the gospel and to encourage other believers and to encourage pastors. And you can go anywhere in the world, and you can be encouraged yourself when you come in contact with Christians. You can come to know their battles, their struggles, their joys, their celebrations. And also you can have lasting friends anywhere in the world. You don't have to have any prior relationships. You don't have to have any prior history with these people. All you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and they know that you believe in Jesus, and you know that they believe in Jesus, and you have an instant bond. You have a bond created by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His love for them and His love for you. And this is such a precious and beautiful thing. And we are individually members of the body of Christ, but we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. And then Paul goes on to say that in verse 14, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" And so Paul is saying that the individual members of your own physical body are just as important, no matter where they're located on your body. Just because you have toe that's down at the bottom of your body and is on the ground, that doesn't mean you don't need your toe. And you can be assured that if your toe gets chopped off, it's going to hurt. It's going to be very painful. It's going to make you very aware. Even a little ingrown toenail will make you very aware of the fact that your toe is a very important part of your body. And so that is Paul making an example of our physical body and just saying every part is important. Every part has a function. Every part has a part to play. Every part is vital to the whole picture, to the whole functioning of the total body. And so those that don't seem as important are just as important. Everybody can't be a pastor. Everybody can't be standing in the pulpit preaching every week. Everybody can't be an evangelist. I have a team in Africa. I'm taking a team with me, and I have team members in several countries in Africa that have worked with me over the years that help pave the way for the crusades. They do the groundwork, they do the legwork, they print up the posters, and they secure the site and secure the police, and they secure all the things that we need, the sound systems. And I have a team in five different countries over there that I have worked with that make all this stuff smooth, make it so that it is operable and functional. When I get there, we can hit the ground running and everything is in place for a successful crusade. And so the body is important, and I stand up on the platform to preach, but all of these other jobs that have been taken care of, all of these other functions that have been taken care of successfully, they contribute to the success of the crusade. Well, Paul goes on to say here that in verse 23, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it." And then he wraps things up here, talking about divisions in the body and also how we rejoice together. Verse 25, "That there should be no schism or no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." Beloved, one of the most egregious things that I see in the body of Christ is that all of these believers get separated over denominational conflict and denominational arguments. We need to come together and agree that we love each other as members of the body of Christ. We need to come together and agree that the blood of Jesus unites us, that his love for us and that his sacrifice, his death on the cross unites us. And many of these petty arguments about end time scenario and eschatology and baptism and all these different petty arguments that separate Christians, some of them I know are necessary, but many of them are not. And even within one church, there are many people who argue with each other over eschatology and end time events and how the book of Revelation is going to play out and all of these things. And God is grieved by this. He wants us to love each other, and most of these issues are secondary issues. He wants us to come together in agreement over the blood of Jesus, that Jesus died for us, that he shed his precious blood for us, and that through his blood there is salvation, there is deliverance, there's healing, and there is eternal life. And when we can come to an agreement over those basic things, then we can love people in the body of Christ, and these secondary issues, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, all of these things then become secondary issues. They're important issues, but they're secondary to the fact that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. And so there should be no schism in the body, and there should be no schism between the churches. We should all get along, and we should all love each other and care for each other. And so Paul is saying that there should be no schism and that the members should have the same care for one another. Beloved, the body of Christ is not an organization. It is not a club. It is not a elite group with some kind of earthly function. It is the body of Christ, and we are here for a supernatural charge. We are here because Jesus Christ charges us to carry out a supernatural function here on the earth, and that is to share the gospel. That is our primary and only mission. Yes, there are other things as well. We give clothing to the poor. We give food to the poor. We give water to the poor. All of these things are important functions of the body of Christ. But the main thing, the main idea, the main supernatural function of the body of Christ is to carry out the Great Commission. If that were not so, the minute we were saved, Jesus would take us up to heaven and we would be finished with our walk on this earth. But God's will is that we take the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, that good news that people who are lost in their hopelessness and people who are lost in their sin and people are lost in their bondage, their drug addiction, their pornography, their prostitution, their glue sniffing, whatever it is, the witchcraft, the false religions, Muslim religion, Islam, and Hindu, Buddhist, whatever it is. It is God's will that we take the message, the good news of the gospel, that message that brings hope to all mankind for all eternity, that we carry that good news to people all over the world, and we share that gospel message. And beloved, if you're not busy doing that, if you don't have any plans this week or this month to be doing that, or even today to do that, you should reevaluate your priorities of why you're here living on this earth. You should take a look at your life and say, what am I doing if I'm a believer? If I call myself a believer, if I call myself a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, what am I doing to further the gospel in my community, in my family, in my city, in my state, in my country? Am I doing anything? If you're not, get busy. If you're not, ask the Lord, Lord, open up doors for me so that I can start to minister the gospel. Maybe I just need to spend more time in the Word so I know what to minister. Maybe I need to spend more time in Bible study and in small group Bible study so I know what I'm talking about when I open my mouth. Maybe I need to spend more time in prayer and just say, Lord, open up the doors for me. Open up the doors. When I first started to minister back 15 or 20 years ago, I just asked the Lord a very simple prayer. Lord, show me your way. Show me your way. Four words, show me your way. What do you want me to do? You open up the doors, Lord, and I'm going to be obedient to walk through those doors. I'm going to be obedient to go out there and share the gospel, and I'm going to be obedient even if it's just one person or two persons. I'm going to be obedient to spread the good news of the gospel. And if you will do that, beloved, if you will take it one day at a time, and if you will take it one person at a time and start to share the good news with whoever the Lord puts in your path, and not just sit around and watch TV all the time or watch Facebook all the time or drink coffee all the time, but make a purposeful, intentional plan and then activate that plan to go out and share the gospel to those who don't know the good news of the gospel. Well, Paul goes on to say here in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Beloved, it's very comforting to know that if you are suffering, if you have prayer requests, and that's why I ask you to send me your letters or email me, pureprayer@hotmail.com. If you have something going on in your life and you need prayer and you want me to pray for you and pray with you, you can email me, pureprayer@hotmail.com, or you can write me a letter, Box 92, Norton, Kansas. Let me know what your prayer request is. I would be more than happy to pray with you. I want to help lift you up as a fellow member of the body of Christ, and when one of us suffers, we all suffer. And so when somebody suffers and has health issues or financial issues or marital issues or whatever is going on with their life, we all want to help to pray. We all want to contribute to lift that person up, to help encourage and strengthen that person so that the devil doesn't get them down and the devil doesn't beat them up and the schemes of the devil aren't successful against them. And so this is a great thing, beloved. This is a supernatural thing that we have some people to stand with us no matter what situation we're in. We have people to stand with us and to pray with us, to encourage us. And that is the reason also that we need to be in the body of Christ. We need to be in the fellowship each and every week. Find yourself a good church home, a church that is preaching out of the Bible and preaches God's word straight and true and pure. And then be in that fellowship every week so that people can come to know you. You can come to know them. You can pray for them when they're down or when they're going through struggles. And they can pray for you when you're down and you're going through struggles. And so it's very important to be in the fellowship. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. And so much more so as the habit is of some. And so much more so as the end day draws near. And so we have encountered a time in human history when things are going to look very bleak, when things are going to look grim. You see the threat of ISIS, you see the threat of China, you see the threat of Russia, North Korea, all these threats to American security. And you know that there's going to be something coming on the horizon that is going to shake this nation, that is going to rock this nation. It isn't always going to be peaceful. It isn't always going to be pleasant. It isn't always going to be a walk in the park. And so we need to be in fellowship with other believers so that we can pray and strengthen and encourage other believers as they strengthen and encourage us. And again, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And then Paul goes on to talk about how God has appointed certain people and certain positions to function in the body of Christ. And this is a very important passage of Scripture here, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. So this is the appointments that God has made of human beings to function in the church, in the church fellowship, so that the church becomes the representative and the effective representative for the Lord God Almighty here on this earth. And so he says, first, he appoints apostles, and second, prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles or workers of miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. And so you notice that the first two things that Paul brings up here that God has appointed are the apostles and the prophets. And the reason why is because the apostles are the grounders. They're the ones who set the government. They're the ones that set the foundation. And without the apostles to direct and set the foundation, the house can't be built. The temple can't be built. And so the apostolic anointing is also the sent one, those that are sent out from one location to another. When I go to Africa, when I receive the blessings of the people in Africa, they call me Apostle Jim because I have been sent out by my church and by the body of Christ here in America to go encourage them in Africa, to preach the gospel message to those that are lost in Africa. So they call me Apostle Jim, which means I am the sent one. And I'm going over there to do something that has never been done before. I'm going over there to lay a foundation that others can build on, whether it's lay a foundation in a local church by conducting a church revival, lay a foundation in a nation by bringing many people into the kingdom through the Crusades, lay a foundation in the orphanage site or at the orphanage site, the physical foundation that we can build a house up for 30 to 40 children, and there will actually be a physical foundation there with a physical house built upon it. But all of these things are the apostolic anointing, the apostolic calling that come when a person is sent from the fellowship and the body of Christ here over to another place. And it's a beautiful thing for apostles then to come into an area that they've never been before and establish something new in that area that nobody else has created, nobody else has thought of, that the Holy Spirit has not given anybody else that job to do except you or except me, and He has revealed it to us so that we can go there and be the first to do it. And then the second is the prophets that God appoints, and the prophets are the guides, and they come into the body of Christ, and they give a prophetic word for edification, for consolation, and for exhortation or to encourage. And sometimes the prophets have to give a word that is very chastening, and sometimes to straighten people out and to bring a word of correction into their life and into the body. And so the prophets are very important. And beloved, many have been taught that there's no apostles today, there's no prophets today, that we have the word of God, and so we don't need those things today, or that the last apostle died in the first century, and so therefore there's no more apostles. Let me tell you, beloved, we need apostles today. We have apostles today. We need prophets today. We have prophets today, and all of these functions that are carried out by these appointed offices in the body of Christ are just as vital and just as important today as they were in the first century in the time when Paul was writing the book of Corinthians. And then he says, third, the teachers, that's teachers and pastors, because they need to take care of the local body and encourage the local body, shepherd them, watch over them, guard them. Then comes the gifts of the Holy Spirit. After that, workers of miracles. After that, then gifts of healings, and then the helps and administrative offices in the body of Christ. And then last, Paul lists various kinds of tongues. And then Paul wraps up this passage of Scripture by asking some rhetorical questions. In verse 29, he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And of course, these rhetorical questions, the answer to all these would be, no, all are not prophets, all are not apostles, all are not teachers, all don't work miracles, all don't have gifts of healings. And so Paul is pointing out and making an illustration here and saying that the body of Christ has all of these things in varieties and in manifestations in certain people, but not in others. And so the body of Christ functions, and it is at its best when all these people with all these different gifts come together and they operate in these gifts, and they operate in a way that the body of Christ has no schisms, that it is powerful. It is powerful on the local level, on the national level, on the international level, and in every way the body of Christ then moves forward. The kingdom of God moves forward to take the territory from the enemy and to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil, and that should be you, beloved, that should be your purpose here on this earth as well, that you came to destroy the works of the devil. And then Paul finishes it up here in verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Well, the best gifts, Paul goes on in verse 1 in chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so the spiritual gifts then, Paul goes on to talk about the gift of prophecy, which is speaking into the future and also bringing a word of edification, exhortation, and consolation. And that is important in the body of Christ, that we be able to build up each other, that we encourage each other, and we give comfort through the Holy Spirit when we are down, when we have grief in our life, or we're mourning for a lost loved one, or whatever in that regard, that we give comfort through the Holy Spirit to those who are grieving and those who are lost. Well, that is the body of Christ and the way that the spiritual gifts then and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operable in the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful picture. It actually works that way when people are seeking the Lord. It actually works that way when people love the Lord and they're not thinking about their own selfish needs, but they're thinking about those that are lost and those that need to know about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And beloved, if that is not your goal for your life, if that is not what you are doing with your life, again, spend time with the Lord. Ask the Lord, how can I be an effective member of the body of Christ? How can I help take the kingdom of God to the far ends of the earth? And I will guarantee you, beloved, if you pray that prayer sincerely, God will show you ways that you can get involved. God will show you ways that you can become an effective member of the body of Christ. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we thank you for each and every one of you who have contributed to help keep these radio broadcasts on the air. We invite all of you to help do that and also to make a contribution to help the Gather the Outcast Ministry Africa Crusade get up and going and have successful crusades. We're going to be going into Tanzania this year for the first time to preach crusades in Dar al Salaam, a city of 5 million people, and also over to Burundi and in Uganda and Kenya. We'll also be preaching church revivals and some mini crusades, and we'll be doing work at the orphanage site in Kenya as well. And so if you'd like to be a part of this, we'd like to hear from you. Sit down, write out a check, make it out to Gather the Outcast Ministry, and we'd love to hear from you and help this radio broadcast stay on the air. And we thank you for those of you who have contributed. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week.